to Tuned To Yesterday, bringing you broadcasts from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, comedy from two big names of the period. Later on, it's Jack Benny from 1949, but first, The Red Skelton Show, from about a year before he went off the radio waves, to then have tremendous success on television. This episode deals with fear, heard on CBS on October 17th, 1951.
This is CBS, the Star's Address.
The CBS Radio Network proudly presents The Red Skelton Show. For the next half hour, we invite you to laugh your head off with Clem Cadiddlehopper, Willie Lumplum, Deadeye the Western Cowboy, Cauliflower McPug, Junior the Mean Little Kid, San Fernando Red the Politician, and all the other hilarious characters portrayed by you-know-who on the transcribed Red Skelton Show. Skelton, David Rose and his orchestra, Loreen Tuttle, Pat McGee and Dick Ryan and the Smith Twins will be me, Rod O'Connor. Now the star of our program, Red Skelton.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hiya, Rod.
Hi.
You notice they all start out the same way.
Hey, Red, those are some terrific pictures of you and Georgia and Richard and Valentina in this week's copy of Look Magazine.
Yeah, the next two issues of Look Magazine are all about me. Of course, they did have to put Marilyn Monroe on the cover.
Well, what's wrong with you? Well,
I got a bone to pick with you.
Good. If there's any meat on it, there's nothing like good material.
You're right, and I think we should have left that joke in.
What joke?
The one I'm over so good at rehearsal.
Oh, you mean your joke?
Yeah, why did you delete it?
Well, I have to admit that I'm caught with my alibi down.
Well, I know why.
Why?
You're afraid I'll get a laugh.
I wish you hadn't said that, Rod.
Why?
It's the truth.
You know, comedians on other shows let their announcers get laughs.
Yeah, and you know what happens? The networks are now looking for the commercials in their comedians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed what happens to radio? A band leader or a singer gets a laugh one week, and the next week they got their own show.
Well, Red, the world wants to laugh.
Yeah, it'd be all right if it just left off there, but now the sponsors are looking for a guy that can sing and tell jokes. And then that'll fit into their advertising campaign, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be truthful, I can see where you comics have plenty to be afraid of.
Oh, yes, we do. But we're not going to be afraid long, boy. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be Red Skelton, who conducts his own orchestra, sings his own funny commercials.
Well, I don't think it'll work.
No? You don't, huh?
No, I don't.
Well, I don't care. From now on, our program is going to sound like this. Hollywood, the Red Skelton program, starring Red Skelton, our comedian, and me, the singing star, me. My announcer, me. My 38-piece orchestra will be played by me and conducted by me. Now you will hear from me. I will sing me. Now, how do you like that?
Well, don't ask me, Red. I used to work in a glue factory, and my nose can take a lot.
Proud of that, ain't you?
You know what I think?
What?
You comics only have one way out.
What's that?
You gotta start getting jokes with feelings. And new ones.
Oh, that's the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
Gee. we can't use new jokes. Well, the radio, the jokes we've been using, the comedians, all of us have been using the same jokes for years. The audience are now just getting them. It's the comedian that's keeping the nation on its feet. Every time they hear an old joke, thousands of voices say, get up and shut that guy up. Yeah, if the audience is going to be so fickle and they want talent with their jokes, well, I guess I'll have to go back to the job that I came out here to California to do.
Oh, you can't do that, Red.
Why? The grape-picking season over?
Skelton Scrapbook of Satire, we present a story entitled Fear. Chapter one is captioned, The Best Way Out is Out. Starring Willie Lumplum.
Hey, waiter, how about those servers?
Yes, sir. What do you want?
Quit butting in.
Look, I'm here to wait on you. Now, what do you want to order?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know? You got any stewed chicken?
Yes, sir.
Well, bring me what the chicken has.
Look,
No, I'll ask you again. You got any stewed chicken?
Yes.
Give him a little black coffee. That'll sober him up.
Look, don't you think you better go home?
No, I don't think so. I'm all right.
Well, then get up off your knees.
Am I on my knees?
Yes, you are.
Well, I thought it was funny I could touch the floor without bending over.
Look, does your wife know where you're at?
Yeah, she chased me in here.
Why don't you go home?
Home?
Don't you know what home is?
Yes. Home is any place I hang my wife.
Hey, have you always been in this condition?
No, I was single once.
Does your wife nag at you?
Nag? Noon, morning, and night. All she does is nag, 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 nag. She even looks like one. And she's getting meaner every day. She's always yelling at me. She yells, where have you been? Who was she? Where are you going? And she beats me, too. If this fighting keeps up, I'm liable to wake up some morning and find myself dead.
Ah, that's pretty bad.
I didn't care for it myself. That's pretty bad. That's why I've got this gun. I'm going to beat her to it. As soon as I eat, I am going to end it all.
Well, why bother to eat?
Well, it's too much to go through on an empty stomach, Bonnie. I was going to hang myself, but the rope was kind of dirty, and I didn't want to get my neck all stuck. She'll cry when I'm gone, boy. She'll be sorry. I got the old gun ready, though.
Look, you better put that gun away someplace. Look. Why don't you just go down to the river and hop in?
Not me, boy. I'm not jumping in that icy river. Boy, it takes my death of cold.
Look, I'll go get you some food to eat, and then you'll feel better. I'll be right back.
Okay. If I keep this up, something is bound to come my way. What's that I smell?
Oh, that's the hash at the next table.
Oh, hash? Well, we'll die anyhow. I'll bring me an order of that.
Good. Now you won't need that gun.
Okay, I think I'll count three and let myself have it right here in the restaurant, real dramatic like. One, well, goodbye, world. Two, I could kind of hate to see myself go. Two and a half.
There he is, officer. There he is.
Get away. Willie.
Well, if it ain't old Flappy, how are you?
Well, now what's the trouble?
Well, there wasn't any until you showed up.
Oh, put that gun down, conehead.
Oh, wait a minute, boy. Wait a minute now. Are you looking for trouble?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are, huh? You really looking for trouble, huh?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's the way it struck me.
A thing like this. Just think of your future.
Well.
Come on, I'm taking you home.
Oh, no, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Oh, no, you're not.
Look at this nightstick.
Oh, yes, you are.
All right, come on now. Get into this police car.
Okay.
Willie, why do you get yourself in this condition?
I can't help it. My wife scares me to death.
Oh? What's the trouble? What does she do?
Well, everything. Mostly nags.
Nags?
Yeah.
My wife slays the horses, too, but it doesn't scare me. You
You know, your wife
can't... It's been a good joke if Santa Anita was over.
You know, your wife can't be bad-looking. Why, there must be uglier women than she is.
Look, you leave the yabangies out of this. She's always comparing me to other men.
Yeah. I can understand that. My wife's the same way.
Yeah.
She's always talking about her late husband.
Oh, well, you're lucky. My wife's always talking about her next husband. It's always he's going to be handsome. He's going to stay home. He's going to gamble. Hey, where's your wife's first husband buried? He sounds like the guy she's looking for.
Tell me, when did you get married?
I got married in June, and in July, the fireworks started.
Well, Willie, don't worry about it. It isn't worth it. Now, what would you gain by taking a gun and doing what you're going to do?
Yeah, nothing at all.
No.
That's the coward's way out.
Why, sure.
And, brother, you're looking at a coward. But a brave coward. I'm glad you took the gun away from me.
Well, good. Now, tell me, where do you live?
Well, right here.
Yeah?
There it is. We're outside of the inner sanctum.
How old is your wife, Willie?
She says she's 23.
Oh? Is she?
Yeah. The only time she'll ever see 23 again is going to be on a speedometer. There's my wife now.
Yeah.
There's her face burning in the window.
Look, Willie, I better go on in with you.
No, I won't do it. I can't face it.
Oh, go on. Walk in there like a man.
Yeah, be carried out like a corpse.
Now, it isn't that bad.
Oh, it's not. It's worse. Give me the gun.
Look. I'll go in with you.
Well?
You know, sometimes a friend can help in a situation like this.
Really?
Sure. Now, you stop worrying about what she's going to do with you. Come on, now. Get out of this car.
Okay. This is mighty neighborhood.
Oh, that's
mighty,
all right.
Mighty friendly.
That's all right.
How good friend you are.
Thanks.
I've had a lot of friends in my day, but I have never had a friend like you. You are really a friendly friend. Take hands, friend.
Yes, sir.
You are really a friend, friend.
That's okay.
Give me my gun.
Careful going up the steps.
I can make
Here. Pick some of these flowers and then take them into her.
That's a good idea. Sure. I'll take this. It'll fit her personality.
No. That's a century plant.
You don't think I'm going to give her some forget-me-nots, do you? There we are. Come on in.
Yoo-hoo! Wifey dear, Sterno's home.
There you are. Same as usual, only this time the police had to bring you home. Well, Mr. Lump Lump, what blonde were you out with this time?
Here, I brought you some flowers.
Flowers? You dare bring me flowers that you probably picked for some other woman.
Oh, shut up!
Well, where's your girlfriend? Has she been arrested, too?
Now, don't start that silly stuff.
Don't try to alibi. I'm nobody's fool.
You... What's that, dear?
I'm nobody's fool.
Well, be patient. Somebody might adopt you.
Oh, why did I ever marry you?
To pay off an election bet.
Now, look, Hollowhead. One more crack out of you, and I'll mop up the floor with
you. Oh, yeah, well, I'd like to see you do it.
Oh, why, you little...
Very good job.
There's a spot under the sink you missed.
Well, I'm sorry I interfered. Look, step outside, will you?
Now, you see what I mean, officer?
Yeah. Willie, Willie, here's your gun back. But do me a favor, will you?
What's that?
Go down to the river and do it. I don't want you to give my district a bad name.
You're a good friend.
Red Skelton will be back in a moment, but first, here is Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks.
I was casually collapsed in front of the living room radio last Wednesday, and I know it was Wednesday because I was laughing at Red Skelton, when a calm, smooth, velvety voice reached me from the doorway.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of her hair.
Walter, what in the world are you doing?
Good evening, oh fairest of the fairest feminine teachers in the land. The portals of your haven were slightly ajar, and
so it behooved me to introduce my new project by sending you.
Translation, please.
You're now listening to Red Skelton's radio show, right?
Right.
And Bing Crosby follows him over CBS radio, right?
Right.
And Gary Crosby's Bing Crosby's son, right?
Right.
And the only reason Bing Crosby has a radio program is because Gary is such a good singer, right?
Wrong. And it's a good thing this radio doesn't have a two-way sending apparatus. I'd hate to have Bing hear you say a thing like that.
I heard it, Eve. You could tell that fugitive from a tonsillectomy that I'd sue him. I would sue him for... It just didn't happen to be true. Good thing for him I don't have a leg to stand on.
Oh, that's sweet of you, Bing, and we'll listen to your program in just a few minutes. But right now, I'm going to tune back to Red Skelton.
Our second chapter on fear is captioned Mice versus People, starring that mean little kid, Junior.
Kiddo.
Are you hungry?
Well, now that you mention it, yes, I is.
That's strange. Junior, I want you to look at this cake I baked this morning.
Yeah. Boy, if you wasn't around, I could sure make that cake look sick and vice versa.
Now, this cake has a big dent on one side.
Oh?
And I was wondering if you could explain it.
The dent?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe somebody put it there when they were racking their car in.
Now, look over here.
Yes?
Someone has pinched a big hunk out of it.
Now, who would do a thing like that?
I would wonder.
Yes.
Junior, have you touched this cake?
No, Mummy, I haven't.
Oh, then I believe you.
I'm going to have to use that tone of voice more often. Oh, boy, saves a lot of hand motion. Hey, oh, look, Mummy, a mouse.
Good heavens, where?
Over there, over there. No, no, he's over here. No, here. Here, there.
Oh, where is he now?
Wait till I'm crossing my eyes, will you?
You've got to get him, Junior.
Yeah. Well, get down off the icebox and help me.
Junior, what are you doing?
I'm going to throw this at the mouse.
Junior, you put that bowl down.
Oh, he put it down a little too fast, didn't he? Oh. What's he got on, horseshoes? Boy, that's the fattest mouse I ever heard. Boy, I'll ride him to school. He wouldn't have to buy me an encyclopedia. Hey, look, there he is. There's that mouse. He's sticking his nasty little head out of that hole again. Look, he's smiling at me. Do mouses brush their teeth?
Of course not.
Do they take a bath?
No.
Move over, kid. You got a partner.
Stop acting silly and do something.
Well, you leave it to me. I'll get him. I'm going to go get something. We live in an awful big house. Yeah. Now, I'll teach him to muscle in on my sweet tooth territory. Okay, Mouse, come out of there with your paws up.
Junior, put your father's shotgun down.
Come out of there, Humphrey. Hey, he's squeaking. Maybe he needs oil. Whoop, there he goes again. I think I blew down the whole block. Boy, a nice spot for an open fireplace, isn't it?
Don't you ever do a thing like that again.
Look, help me get out of this bread box, will you? Boy, that thing's got more kick to it than a mule that's backed into a hornet's nest.
Look, there he is again.
Boy, he sure do like trouble, don't he? That mouse is after my own heart.
Just let the mouse alone. He'll go away.
No, I'm sorry, kiddo. I can't take the chance. I heard of a man that slept once with his mouth open, and he swallowed a mouse.
Junior, how awful.
Yeah, he did. He swallowed a mouse, and then he put a big cat on his stomach, see? And he put a piece of cheese on his chest, see?
What happened?
Well, the mouse came up to eat the cheese, and the cat gave a leap for the mouse.
Yes?
He swallowed rat cat cheese and all.
You get your ideas.
I don't know, but they certainly are pipped, ain't they? Somebody's at the door. Maybe he's called for some reserves.
Now, don't run, Junior. I look never... where you're going.
Okay. Whoops.
What happened?
You know that vase with Whistler's mother on it?
Yes.
Well, the chair just went over backward, and the old gal's flat on her back. Oh, it's me, Pop. Come in. Hurry, hurry, hurry. There's a moose in the hoose, and we got to get him out.
Don't get very excited about it. Where is he?
The moose is in the hoose.
Where's your mother?
She's up there.
Hello, dear.
Richard, I'm warning you. You better catch that monster.
I will, dear. I will.
Yeah, boy, I can't figure adults out. Mummy's afraid of that widow mouse, and Pop ain't, yet Pop's afraid of Mummy.
Quiet, Junior. Now, I should have something to throw at him. Junior, do you know where the hairbrush is?
I think he's talking on the phone. You missed a page, boy. Those earphones they got on, I'll give you 2-1. They're listening to Bob Hope.
Shall we?
Now, you want to pick it up? Mummy, you faded them out. You faded them out. Now, you stay quiet, Junior.
Quiet, Junior. Now, I should have something to throw at him. Yeah. Junior, do you know where the hairbrush is?
No, but I know where it's been.
Hand me that broom.
Okay. Giddy up there. Giddy up there.
Don't ride it over. Just give it to me.
Well, don't get nasty. I can't help it if I got to hop along Cassidy and Phil or the complex.
Look, now, something for bait to entice him out. Junior, get in the icebox and get out some cheese.
Okay, I'll get in the icebox and get some cheese. Here we are.
Oh, for goodness sake! What are you doing in there?
Well, you said to get in the icebox and get some cheese.
Get out of there. Where's the cheese?
I couldn't find it. The light went out when the door closed.
Never mind. I'll get it.
Well, get me out of here. Will you get me out of here? I'm cold. My head's cubed up on me.
Get out. Now, quiet, Junior. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Shh. He smells the cheese. He's sniffing. Look at him sniff. You see him? He's a little snifter. There he is. Get him.
You got him.
Yes,
I did.
I'm going to faint.
Well, it's a little late for that, ain't it?
Here, dear, I'll help you up to your room.
Oh, what an experience.
That poor widow mouse. Him and me, we had so much in common. He got his with a broom, and I get mine with a hairbrush. The only difference, I'm bigger rat than he was. I feel so bad, I never want to see another piece of cake. So I'm going to eat this all up. Then I won't have to go around and find another mouse to take the rap for me. Oh, here, look. Hey, Pop, come here. The mouse.
Now, don't cry, Junior.
The mouse.
A dead mouse won't hurt you.
I ain't worried about the dead one. But you shouldn't have killed him.
Why, Junior?
4 more just came to his funeral.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, until next week...
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening.
The Red Skelton Show on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS episode from October 17th, 1951. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday with your host, Mark Levonier. Up next, an episode of The Jack Benny Show, heard on CBS on the 6th of February, 1949. Lots of stars in this episode, including Vincent Price, Claudette Colbert, and producer, director, and occasional performer Fletcher Markle. And not to give away a joke, but maybe bring you some context, when Jack Benny goes to call Markle later in the broadcast, you'll hear him asked what his Hooper is. And that was basically a radio rating. So when he gives a number, that's in the millions of people. And he is a bit generous, according to my research. Enjoy the Jack Benny program next from CBS.
The Jack Benny program.
Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, Don Wilson, and yours truly, Mary Livingston. Ladies and gentlemen, today is my turn to make the opening announcement because Jack still has Don Wilson locked in his den, and he intends to keep him there till Don signs his new contract. As we look in on Jack's home, we find him and Rochester discussing the situation.
Boss, I don't like to butt into your affairs, but I think that if you won't let Mr. Wilson go, you ought to at least give him a little food. He's lost so much weight, his face is getting awful thin.
It is?
Yeah, this morning I peeked in at him through the keyhole and saw both his eyes peeking back.
Well, look, Rochester, I'll let Mr. Wilson out when he signs the contract and not before.
But, boss, he's desperate for food. You know that moose head hanging over the piano?
Don't tell me he ate the moose head.
No, the piano.
What?
And with those keys sticking out of his mouth, he looks like Don Amici.
Rochester, stop making up such silly things. I'll get it. Oh, hello, kid.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Jack. Well, this is a coincidence, all three of you coming at the same time.
Jack, it's no coincidence. We're over here to make a protest.
A protest?
Yes, just because Don won't sign his contract, you lock him up like a common criminal. It's awful.
It's humiliating.
It's insulting to his dignity.
Oh, it is, eh? What have you got to say about it, Dennis?
Nothing. Tenors are a dime a dozen.
Well, look, kids, I don't think this is any of your business. I happen to be the boss of my program, and I'll run things the way I want to.
Well, we're making it our business.
Oh, you are, eh? Let me tell you something. A business is like a ship, and whether it sinks or floats depends upon the captain. And you know what it is when the crew revolts against the captain.
Yeah, it's matinee.
That's mutiny! Matinee. I'm ashamed of all of you, but you the most, Mary. Imagine you being the ringleader after all I've done for you. Took you from nothing, put you on the radio, and made a big star out of you.
Well, some big star. If I didn't double at the Burbank Theater, I'd starve to death.
The Burbank Theater?
Gee, ball of fire, Livingston.
Why, now listen, all of you. Now listen, my business dealings with Don Wilson don't concern you. The only thing you should be interested in are your own contracts.
Well, I got a beef on that, Jackson. Look at the way you got me to sign my last contract.
What are you talking about? You signed it in 5 minutes.
I know, but look at the way you tortured me. You shoved a billiard ball in my mouth and locked me in a room with a bottle of bourbon.
Gee, Phil, what did you do?
I had to knock out my front teeth.
To get the ball out?
No, to get the bourbon in.
Now, look, kid.
You're better off than I am, Phil. Mr. Benny signed me to the longest-term contract in radio.
How long is your contract with Jackson, kid?
I don't know, but when I signed it, he slipped a ring on my finger and said, "Till death do us part."
Why, you kids should be happy you're working for me. It's something to be proud of.
Well, I still think it's humiliating. Particularly that clause you have in my contract saying that if anything terrible happens to my sister, Babe, you have the right to use it on your program.
Well, Mary...
Well, Babe wrote me and said she's fed up with it, all those terrible things you say about her, like she's modeling harnesses, or she was voted Miss Lower Plate Wobble, or a plane flew over and dropped a bale of hay. You gotta stop that, Jack.
Okay. By the way, how are things going with your sister, Babe?
Oh, fine. She meets Gorgeous George at the Olympic Wednesday.
Did you write that down, Rochester?
Got it!
Good.
Jack, there's Don rattling at the door. He must be starved.
Yeah, Jack, unlock that door so we can talk to him.
I will not.
Jack, open that door. We want to talk to Don.
Oh, all right. Anyway, we'll talk to Don. Talk to Don. Well, Don, are you going to sign that contract?
I won't. Who's that with you? Who are those people?
Well, Don, don't you recognize us? I'm Mary, and there's Phil and Dennis.
I don't know these people. Get them out of here, Jack. They're just here to torture me.
Now, look, Don.
Don, I'm your friend, Mary Livingston.
Oh, yes, Mary. Mary, please talk to Jack about my contract. Dennis, tell Jack to give me a fair deal. Tell him how lousy he is.
Oh, he knows that.
Quiet, kid. You better sign that contract, Dante. You ain't round and firm anymore. Now, why don't you listen to reason and then... Who's that?
Oh, look out the window, Mr. Benny. It's your quartet.
The Sportsmen? I wonder what they want.
Jack, that's the only pleasure I get. They come over every day and serenade me. Raise the window, Jack. Please.
Okay.
Go ahead, fellas. Sing to me.
If you had the wings of an angel, over these prison walls you could fly.
If you could fly.
And then you could light up a lucky and write Honest John in the sky, up in the sky. Oh, we miss you, dear Don, we all miss you. And we're hoping that you won't be there long.
Won't be there long.
But if Jack keeps you in there forever, just smile and sing the words of this song.
I'm feeling low, I'm feeling tense. I think these words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky,
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky,
and we assure that you will always feel your very level best. Best, best, level best.
That was very nice, boys. Now close the window. Don, that quartet touched a soft spot in my heart. Now, I'll give you that raise you were holding out for. Now, sign the contract and go home.
Okay. Give me the pen. I'll sign. There. I did it. I'm free. Do you hear me? Free!
Don, look out for the window. Oh, my goodness. He jumped.
I'm free.
It's too bad he ran away so fast. I was going to give him a new suit and a $5 bill. Now, look, kid. I hope you all learned something from this. Now that I let Don out, I don't want to have trouble with anyone else. From now on, when we have rehearsals, be on time, pay attention to your job, and take direction from me, and there'll be no trouble.
Direction from you?
Certainly. I've been in radio for 17 years, and I know how things should be done. That's why I'm so much in demand.
In demand? Wait a minute, Dad. You told me you were going to be on the Ford Theater last Friday night, so I tuned in and heard Claudette Colbert and Vincent Price. You weren't even on.
Well, Phil, they begged me, but at the last minute, I couldn't make it.
Begged you? That isn't what Claudette told me.
Mary, we're not discussing that now.
What did Claudette tell you, Mary?
Mary, if you say one word, I'm leaving the room. I don't want to hear this silly talk.
I don't care. I'm going to tell him.
All right, then. I'm going out.
Go on, Livy. Tell us.
Well, here's what happened. Last week, when Jack heard that Claudette Colbert was going to be on the Ford Theater program...
Yeah.
He immediately called up Rusty Markle, the director of the show, and tried to get on it, too. He couldn't wait to get to the phone and call Mr. Markle.
Hello, Kenyon and Eckhart, radio advertising agency.
May I speak to Mr. Markle, please?
Who's calling?
Jack Benny.
What's your hooper?
.28.9.
Oh, then Mr. Markle will talk to you.
Thank you.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Mr. Markle. Mr. Markle, this is Jack Benny.
Yes, Mr. Benny, what can I do for you?
Well, I understand that Claudette Colbert and Vincent Price are appearing on your Ford Theater program.
That's right.
Well, I thought perhaps you might like to use me instead of Vincent Price.
Mr. Benny, didn't you do personal appearances in Europe last summer?
Yes, I did.
And you just finished producing a picture called The Lucky Stiff?
Uh-huh.
And didn't you just sell your program to CBS?
Yes, yes, that's right.
Well, please let somebody else make a buck, will you?
Mr. Markle, it's not a question of money. It's a matter of proper casting. Now, does Miss Colbert know that you have Vincent Price?
She picked him.
Ah. Well, don't you think it would be better if we...
No.
Now, wait a minute. Mr. Markle, if you give me the job, I can save you money.
You can?
Yes, I can not only act, but I can play in the orchestra. You see, I'm also a violinist. So you see, by doing two jobs for the same salary, I'll be beating Vincent Price. Hey, that was a good one. Mr. Markle.
Just a moment, please. I'm cutting my wrist.
I'll wait. I mean, wait a minute. Look, there's no need for bloodshed. Now, Mr. Markle, if you don't mind, I'll call Miss Colbert and take the matter up directly with her.
I wish you would.
Thank you. Goodbye. Now, let's see. I'll look Claudette's number up in the phone book here. Here we are. Caldwell, Caldwin, Colfax, Colcutt. I used to go with a girl named Colcutt. Blossom Colcutt. See, here we are. Colbert. Oh, here it is. Claudette Colbert. Crestview 73872.
Hello?
Hello, I'd like to speak to Claudette Colbert, please.
This is Miss Colbert speaking.
Oh, hello, Claudette. Guess who this is?
Well, really, I haven't the slightest idea.
Well, you know me very well. Now, come on, guess.
Well, now...
Remember a few years ago at Paramount? Who had the dressing room next to yours?
Oh, hello, Dorothy.
Dorothy? Look, this isn't L'Amour. Look, Dorothy's dressing room was on one side of yours. Now, who was on the other side?
That was a washroom.
Only part of it. Claudette, this is Jack.
Oh, Jack, hello. Jack who?
Look, Jack Benny. Benny, and Claudette, you'll never guess why I'm calling.
You're starting a pyramid club.
I mean, besides that, look, one of the reasons I called is to tell you that I saw your latest picture, Family Honeymoon, and I thought you were wonderful in it.
Oh, thank you.
You were really marvelous. I thought your characterization, your sincerity, and your comedy interpretation surpassed anything I've ever seen on the screen.
Well, that's awfully sweet of you, Jack. I want to congratulate you on
what, Claudette?
What have you been doing lately?
Lately, I'm with Columbia now.
Oh, well, how are things on Broadway at night?
No. You're thinking of Eastern Columbia. See, I'm with CBS.
Oh.
But look, Claudette, here's what I want to talk to you about. You see, Fletcher Markle, the director of the Ford Theater, just called me about the show you're going to do.
Called you?
Yes. And he suggested that I play the part of your husband in the sketch.
But I understood Vincent Price was playing the part.
Well, he was scheduled to, but if you want me, all you've got to do is speak up. I said, all you've got to do is speak up. Claudette.
Just call me Johnny Belinda.
Oh. Well, I wish you'd think this over because it would really be a wonderful break.
Especially for me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Let's say it'll do us both a lot of good, shall we?
Would you mind hanging up?
Now, wait a minute, Claudette. How about the idea?
Huh? Honestly, Jack, I have nothing
now,
to
look,
do
Claudette,
with it.
Now, look, Claudette, I've got another idea. Why can't
I... Will you please deposit 5 cents for an additional 3 minutes?
3 minutes already? Just a second. Would you mind dropping a nickel in, Claudette?
You called me, remember?
Oh, that's right. What am I thinking of? Here, I've got a nickel. There. See, it doesn't seem like we've been talking for 3 minutes, does it, Claudette?
You ought to be on this end.
Oh. Well, to come to the point, when do you start rehearsing for the play?
Tonight at my house, but I don't think
Tonight, well, look, at your house. At what time?
No, Jack, 8 o'clock. I really don't think
8 o'clock? Well, thanks, Claudette. See you tonight. I'll read the part, and Vincent Price will read the part, and may the best man win.
I hope so.
I knew you'd be plugging for me. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, by the way, Claudette, shall I come for dinner? Claudette! Gee, that second 3 minutes went fast.
And you know, kids, after that, you think Jack would have sense enough to stay away, but not little Blue Eyes.
No kidding.
No, at 8 o'clock sharp, he showed up at Claudette Colbert's house.
Gee, Claudette has a nice home.
Yes, sir?
Miss Colbert is expecting me for rehearsal. I'm Jack Benny.
All right, this way, Mr. Benny. May I take your hat and coat?
Here you are.
Thank you. Well, the first time I ever saw a hat with a bird nest in it.
Give me that. It came off.
They're going to rehearse in the drawing room, Mr. Benny. I'll show you it.
Thank you.
Mr. Price is already here.
Oh, he is. One of those anxious guys, eh? Well, Mr. Vincent Price. I'm Jack Benny, the movie star.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Price? So the two rivals meet, eh?
Rivals? What do you mean?
Well, perhaps I should let Claudette tell you, but it looks like I'm taking your place on the Ford Theater program.
That's ridiculous, old boy.
Oh, no, it isn't. You see, at rehearsal tonight, you and I are both going to read the part. And, of course, the best man will win.
The best man?
Yes.
Mr. Benny, when only two people are involved in a statement, the comparative is used. You don't say the best man will win, you say the better man will win.
Oh.
Now, if three or more people are involved, then the word best is the correct adjective.
I see.
So before we compete for this part, Mr. Benny, it might be well if you first learn to speak English.
Well, for your information, Mr. Price, I went to Waukegan High School for 4 years and I excelled in English. In fact, I got 99 every single term.
Well, ain't that ginger peachy?
Now, cut that out! I've heard of sore losers in my life, but this guy takes the cake.
Just step right in here, Mr. Markle. Miss Colbert will be with you shortly.
Thank you. Oh, hello, Vincent.
Fletcher, old boy. How are you?
Fine, fine.
Hello, Mr. Markle.
What are you doing here?
Well, I just thought I'd drop around and see if
I... Now, listen, Fletcher. I don't know what this is all about, and I demand an explanation. Am I or am I not going to appear opposite Miss Colbert?
Of course you are.
Then what is this Schlemiel talking about?
Schlemiel?
Yes. S-H-L-E...
I know how to spell it. I didn't get 99 in English for nothing. Now, let me tell you something.
Good evening, everybody.
Oh, look, here's Claudette.
Oh, hello, Claudette. How are you doing?
Well, everybody's here now.
Just set the coffee on the table, Richard.
Yes, madam.
Coffee, Fletcher?
No, thank you.
Vincent?
Yes, please.
I'll have a cup, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here you are, Jack.
Thanks. Gee, Claudette, this is the better coffee I ever tasted.
The word is best.
There are only two of us drinking it. Make up your mind. For heaven's sake. But we're all here, so let's get started with the rehearsal.
Richard, you may take the cups away now.
But Mr. Benny hasn't finished his coffee yet.
Oh. Well, you can take his cup. He's drinking out of the saucer.
So I'm through now, so let's get going with the contest. I mean the rehearsal.
Just one moment. Fletcher, let's get this settled for Mr. Denny's benefit. Is he or is he not replacing me in the play?
Certainly not. That's ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous.
I think it's absurd.
You stay out of it! Just take my saucer like you were told, smart Alec.
Please, let's get on with the rehearsal. Now, Mr. Benny, if you insist on staying, take a chair and be quiet.
Yes, sir. Oh, Claudette, is it all right if I have some of these walnuts here?
Certainly, help yourself.
Thanks. See, they're big ones.
Now, Claudette, if you and Vincent are ready, please to begin.
Boy, these nuts are good.
Claudette, in this play, you're a wealthy society girl who's married to a New York stockbroker. That's you, Vincent. He doesn't love you, Claudette, and as the French say, it's a marriage of convenience.
That was a tough one.
Mr. Benny, will you please stop eating those nuts?
Claudette said I could. Anyway, Mr. Markle, I don't want to sit around here like a bump on a log. If I can't have the lead in the play, isn't there something I can do?
All right. If it'll make you happy, you can play the part of the butler.
Butler.
Here's your script.
Thanks.
Now, remember, Claudette, you're the wife. Vincent, you're the husband who doesn't understand her. And Jack...
I'm the butler whom Claudette really loves.
You're the butler, that's all.
Don't shout at me. I'm old enough to be your brother. Heavens to Bessie.
All right, Claudette. Now, you start the scene. Remember, your husband is 2 hours late for dinner, and you're a nervous wreck.
I understand.
Now, go ahead. You call the butler.
Yes. Oh, Smedley. Smedley.
Yes, madam. Smedley, yes. What is it, madam?
Are you sure my husband hasn't phoned?
No, madam. Shall I serve dinner?
No, Smedley, no. I'm much too upset to eat. I've been under such tension all day. I feel so miserable and low.
Oh. Feeling low. Feeling tense.
Jack.
These 8 words are common sense.
Jack.
Smoke a lucky. To keep your level better.
That's not in the script.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry.
Some butler was singing commercials yet.
Yeah.
Now, Claudette, at this point, the husband enters the room. Go ahead, Vincent, make your entrance.
Okay. Good evening, darling. So sorry I'm late.
Oh, Michael, you're always late, and you're always sorry. It's been like this for months. What's come between us? If I only knew, maybe we could work things out.
Oh, it's nothing, my dear. It's just that I've been so busy lately at the office. Now, let's forget it. Come here and give me a kiss, and perhaps we can...
Dinner, sir? Oh, pardon me, I came in too soon.
Can't just kiss you and forget it, Michael. We must come to some understanding. This can't go on forever.
Gwen, let's be adult about the whole thing, shall we? Every night it's the same argument, this constant nagging, nagging, nagging. I tell you, I've been working at the office.
But I phoned your office and they said you left at 2 this afternoon.
Well, I had business at the bank. Do I have to explain my every move to you? Your jealousy is driving me insane.
See, this one's got a worm in it. Put it back in the bowl.
Jack, stop interrupting. Oh, continue, Claudette.
Oh, it's no use, Michael. I know you're lying. Look at you. Everything you say, everything you do gives you away. We must reach a definite understanding.
Well, you can keep on talking. I'm going to have dinner.
But, Michael, I can't go through with another day of this uncertainty. I must know. Do you love me or not?
Of course I love you.
You're lying, Michael. Lying.
Very well, then, I'm lying. You might as well know the truth, my dear. I've never loved you, never.
Gee.
And if you weren't so stupid, you'd have known it long ago.
Michael, what are you saying?
I married you for your money, that's all.
God.
Everybody else knew it. And if you weren't such a blind little fool, you would have realized it yourself.
Oh, stop! Michael, stop!
Well, Gwen, now that you know how things stand, the sooner you divorce me, the happier I'll be.
No, I'll never divorce you, Michael. I couldn't live without you. I couldn't.
Cheers. Oh, stop the dramatics.
Michael!
I'm moving to my club. Smedley, pack my clothes.
I wouldn't touch your dirty clothes.
You stink! drinker, Jack.
Please be quiet, Jack. Continue, Vincent.
Well, goodbye, Gwen. I'm going to the club. Our attorneys can get together tomorrow.
Don't go, Michael. Please don't go.
Stop hanging on to me.
But I won't give you up. I won't. I won't.
Stop it, I say. Let go of me.
No, no.
Then take that. That does it.
Striking a woman. Put up your dukes, Mr. Price.
What?
Come on, fight.
Ooh.
Well, look at Benny. He's out cold.
Vincent, you shouldn't have hit him so hard.
I didn't hit him.
I did, madam. Shall I throw some cold water in his face?
No, no, we'll just go in the other room and rehearse. Come on, Vincent, and bring the walnuts.
Jack will be back in just a moment, but first...
That Mary has a lot of nerve.
Oh, Jack. Jack.
Oh, hello, Claudette.
What are you sitting on the curb for?
Oh, it's all your fault. You told Mary what happened at your house the other night. Now she's inside telling it to Dennis and Phil. And you know Mary. She'll put in a lot of things that aren't even true.
Yes, yes, I know. By the way, Jack, how's your nose?
Well, it's a little better, but it still hurts. Good night, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to tune in to the CBS Sunday lineup, which includes the Prudential Hour, Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, Sam Spade, and Lemon Abner. Don't miss Don Amici in Your Lucky Strike every afternoon. And listen to Dennis Day in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Jack Benny program on Tuned to Yesterday from February 6th, 1949 on CBS, bringing to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.